We have a few minutes to take a look at a little devotion, a brief devotion that I'm entitling Beyond Peace. Beyond Peace. I'd like you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, if you would. And I'm going to read the whole chapter to you. It's going to take a few minutes, and then I'll offer a little commentary, what I feel the Lord is saying, and then we're going to take some time to worship the Lord with some songs that will continue the thought. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face and will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Beyond Peace, that's the name of our devotion today. There's a lot in this passage. Matthew chapter 11 is rich. It's challenging. It's not an easy word to preach. In fact, I told the Lord this morning when I got up and had my coffee, I'm not preaching this sermon. Here I am preaching the sermon. The reason I didn't want to preach it is because I don't really want to live it. I discovered in my Christian walk, and in my Christian life, that I love the peace that comes from knowing Jesus. Don't you love that? Think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Oh, how I love the green pastures and the still waters. Yesterday, I went for a prayer walk. I prayed for all of you by name. I was amazed. I didn't have the name list in front of me, and I actually remembered every one of you, except the new folks on the front row whose names I don't know yet. But everybody else in this room, including Gabriel and Michael, you guys were being prayed for. And Kevin, you were on my list too. Amazing. I had you on my list, and here you are today. I was praying for you all by name. As I was walking down the road, I was marveling at the beauty. Cape Cod is so beautiful in the summer, is it not? And tranquil. And I thought about some war-torn places in the world. We have a friend who watches our online service every week from Syria. And Syria has gone through civil war for many generations, it seems, and there are a lot of places where I think it would be very difficult to live in peace. The Middle East is a difficult place. There are other places in the world also where peace is hard to find, and it's certainly very tranquil on Cape Cod. I walked down the street and I thought to myself, I don't need to be afraid of being mugged. It's a beautiful Sunday, a beautiful sunny summer afternoon, and the sun is shining, and the flowers are gorgeous, and people's homes are so well kept. The grass is all mowed, and people were just celebrating. It was lovely. In fact, as I was walking down the street, some guy came driving by me in a brand new 2020 sparkling, shining, bright red Lamborghini. Yep, a convertible with no top on it. It was absolutely beautiful. And I had to stop and just applaud as he drove by. I even went, you know. And then I thought to myself afterwards, what are you doing? And this kid is still in me, you know. Whenever we used to play with those little cars, if there was a Lamborghini in the batch, it was mine. I would punch you in the nose for that. Well, maybe not, but anyway, I think yesterday was maybe as close as I'll ever get to the Lamborghini. It was beautiful, and I thought to myself, what a peaceful, tranquil world to live in. And as I carried on walking, I began to think, is this the extent of my life with Christ, that I would get to the place where I enjoy these green pastures and still waters? How wonderful. What a gift indeed. But Jesus did not come to leave us in green pastures and still waters. As you continue to read Psalm 23, you discover that the psalmist walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus has come to lead us first to a place of healing and restoration. When I was in pain, I desired nothing but the end of pain. And Jesus is the great physician. And he healed me. And he gave me rest. But he doesn't stop there. When I was surrounded, I wanted nothing more than to be delivered from my enemies. Jesus is my deliverer. He's my fortress, and he's my freedom. And he set me free. And he gave me peace. But he doesn't stop there. When I was in need, hungry, naked, I cried out to God for provision. Jesus is my source, and he is my supply. He's a wellspring and a fountain of life. And he provided for all of my needs, and he gave me safety. But he doesn't stop there. When my hunger is satisfied and my pain is relieved, I begin to take pleasure in comfort, and I fortify myself against more need. Maybe you are the same way. I start collecting things. I start building up defense mechanisms so that I don't ever find myself in need again. I ensure myself against loss. I protect myself against enemies by making boundaries. I pride myself in collecting a little surplus. And I give myself a little more to pleasure. Truth be told, I'm trading one enemy for another. Jason's word this morning is very apropos. Jesus came giving up his safety, even giving up his position of preeminence to become First, an infant in a manger, at the mercy of humans. Eventually taking our cross and our sins upon that cross. You see, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Peacemakers are not the same as those who enjoy peace. They are the ones who go into war-torn areas to bring peace. As it turns out, Jesus has come to heal us. And if you are in need of healing, you're in the right place. And the Lord will heal you. And if you are in need of deliverance, God will deliver you. And if you are in need of supply, God will provide your daily bread. This is His promise to all who put their trust in Him. But may it be known here today that God did not save us so that we might enjoy tranquility. He saved us that we might be strengthened, that we may follow Him into war and crush the head of the serpent. The world in which we live is in desperate need of a Savior. It's hard to show them that Savior from our green pastures and still waters. As I get older, I like the comforts more. I'm collecting things. My office is full of trinkets. My house has got some nice things. People who know me, they call me Ritz because I like nice stuff. It's not big stuff, but what I have is nice. I go out of my way to make sure I buy the good stuff incrementally. So one day I'll have all of it. Here's the problem with collecting. You can't move well. God called us to be sojourners in this world, and the thing about a sojourner is that you pack all your stuff in a suitcase and carry it around. And I want to encourage you today, my beloved brothers and sisters, to not get stuck in the world's version, picket fences and quaint homes. God has called us to more. He has called us to an adventure. Oh, it is not wrong to rest by the still waters. But it is wrong to think that you will live there and be in the will of God. It is time to challenge your hearts. It is time to say, God, what risks am I willing to take? Faith is measured by the risks we are willing to take. I don't have time to preach more. It's a short word and a brief devotion. Matthew chapter 11, in the light of these words, read it again. Read it again. There's one promise that Jesus gives, and it's something that I have failed to take into my reckoning. I keep thinking that if I turn my back from all the pleasures and the comforts, that I will just be in a constant mode of work, and I'm tired. I have compassion fatigue sometimes. I become weary of well-doing. I'm disappointed and tired of being disappointed with people, with their lack of passion. I sometimes get tired of planning things and nobody shows up. I get tired of thinking creatively outside of the box to try and get people activated and motivated, and nobody takes up the challenge. I feel like we're playing a flute and singing a song and no one's dancing. And then we switch it up and sing a dirge and no one mourns. And I feel like, well, maybe it's time for me just to go home and enjoy the green pastures and the still waters. But let me remind you of Jesus' words. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The greatest rest that you will ever find is when you are directly in the will of God. There is no rest like knowing that you are with Him. Keep the spray wet upon your face, the old sailors would say. There is no rest like adventure with Jesus. Amen. Father, may your word penetrate our hearts. May your word miraculously cut away and divide flesh from spirit. Let us become experts at traveling light. In Jesus' name, amen.